the Dharma rarely encountered, always encountered. So, case two of the Shoyoroku, Book of Equanimity, Book of Serenity. Always encountered. Bodhidharma's vast emptiness. As some of you know, Bodhidharma is considered the founder of Zen in China, traveling from India to China in the 6th century, somewhere around the year 520 Common Era. And Bodhidharma comes to China, and eventually comes into the court of Emperor Wu, Emperor Wu of Liang, which was the capital of the Chinese Empire at that time. So Bodhidharma's this Indian Zen, Indian Buddhist, it's not even the name Zen yet, Buddhist, coming to China, and the emperor, who's a practitioner of Buddha Dharma, who is well known for ordaining, for building temples, for supporting priests, The emperor meets Bodhidharma, or it should be the other way around, I should say. Bodhidharma comes before the emperor, and the emperor tells him about all these things that he's done. He supported this temple and that temple, and he built that temple, and he himself ordained, and he supported many priests. And he asks Bodhidharma, what merit is there for doing this? And Bodhidharma says, no merit. So the emperor is surprised. And at that point, we have this case, Bodhidharma's vast emptiness. So the emperor asks, Emperor Wu of Liang asks the great master Bodhidharma, what is the highest meaning of the Buddha Dharma? What is the highest meaning? If there's no merit, what is the highest, the ultimate meaning of the truths of Buddhism? And Bodhidharma says, vast emptiness, no holiness. The emperor asks, who is this standing before me? Who are you? Bodhidharma says, don't know. And the emperor was very confused, baffled. The texts sometimes say the emperor was baffled. The emperor didn't know what to make of it. Didn't understand it. Then Bodhidharma leaves. He subsequently crosses the Yangtze River, comes into northern China, or further north, to what we now call Shaolin, and sits in a cave facing a wall for 9 years. The highest meaning of the holy truths. Highest meaning. In a way, what's important to see is the first question before we get to this. What merit is there for doing things? Do we look for merit? Do we look for meaning? If we have this added idea that our practice life is about some important principle, some important idea, then already we're missing our life. If we're going to get somewhere, then we need to see what we're adding on and doing that gets in the way. Am I attempting to accumulate so-called merit is already taking us off, even though there are all these things we do that do result in so-called merit, or if we say it differently, do result in all sorts of conditions and circumstance that nurtures us in being exactly who we are, being exactly this moment. Vast emptiness, no holiness, is exactly this life here, not something else, being just this moment. And yet, if we want to believe our story about it, believe this is better, this is worse, I'm doing good, she's doing bad, then already we get into trouble. I'm the virtuous one. They're the problem who are doing dot, 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 and fill in. Doesn't matter if the them is me yesterday, I should have known better, or other people in my immediate life, or people at a distance who we don't even know but hear stories about, or just made up stories. Vast emptiness, no holiness. All sorts of clouds in this wonderful sky come and go. But if we believe our story about them, then we know too much. And when we know too much, if we're too smart or too confused, both the sides of the same coin, we don't be right where we are. Our opportunity is living this life as this moment manifests and enjoying all sorts of opportunities, all sorts of events that arise so-called inside and so-called outside, and yet responding to them, if I say it, as with don't know mind, so that what we know doesn't get in the way. What we believe about well, I am going to do this and get such and such benefit doesn't get in the way of being right here, of taking care, if we say it, life as it is, or better yet, doesn't get in the way of us seeing this life as it is, inhabiting this life as it is, and therefore doing to the best of our ability, to our capacity, hearing, seeing, responding to the circumstance. If we start with simply sitting upright in formal zazen, or sitting upright when we're driving our car down the road, being this moment is being the car driving us on this road as is. If we're caught up, then we miss the driving. We miss what's going on the road with the other cars, much less how fast we're going or how slow we're going, or what's the appropriate light that's coming up. Oh, it's a red light. Stop. We don't have to think about it. It's being this vast emptiness, no holiness. We take care of it. We take care of it without having to figure it out with our ideas. As soon as we have an idea that there's some holy truth, that we've accumulated all sorts of merit, that this person in front of me is good, bad, my friend, not my friend, then we're far off from this life of the universe that is our life, our opportunity. Bodhidharma comes before the emperor, he responds to the emperor's questions. Bodhidharma sits and faces the wall. A beggar, a one-armed beggar, comes to Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma responds to him. A nun, a woman, comes to Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma responds to her. Bodhidharma is known for having a number of successes. He had a woman successor. They say a woman nun, so she was a nun. He had a one-armed successor, which we know as Weka, and several other successors. He sits in the cave, doesn't? Is the cave better than the palace? Sits facing the wall. Cave, palace. We know, as I said, Bodhidharma's successor is a one-armed. And then the successor after that is someone we've talked about before, Sengtan, third ancestor, who's a leper. You could think of leprosy, especially in those days when they had no treatment that worked, probably disfigured, probably having all sorts of skin problems, finger problems, losing finger, losing use of limbs, vast emptiness, no holiness. That's the fundamental practice. Being this, don't know, we can encounter and embrace whoever, whatever, circumstance the universe offers us. Whatever clouds appear or disappear in our sky. Being no holiness means also being no, not holy, no contaminated, no, and you fill in the stories we want to give to our encounters, to our life, to the circumstances we're meeting, to the people we're meeting, whether it's the emperor or a beggar, a police officer or a prisoner. We only meet Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and yet it's up to us to respond to them. Up to us to see where we're missing this no holiness, vast emptiness that is our life, that is the specific form right here now. As some of you know, we're having, maybe all of you know, we're having session this coming week. I encourage you to the extent that you can to join us in sitting. We're not going to sit 9 years as Bodhidharma does, facing the wall in a cave, but we are going to sit to whatever extent we sit. Fortunately, we can do it whether in the Zendo or on Zoom, and I hope we all take good care of this opportunity, make the best of it to the extent that we can with our life. What is the ultimate meaning of the holy truths of the Buddha Dharma, the Buddha's teaching? The Buddha's encouragement for us to be this original face that we are, to relieve suffering for ourselves and others, being just this moment, compassion's way. Then, no holiness, don't know, is the opportunity to take good care of this perfection that is our life, to appreciate this life, even when we're baffled, do our best with the baffling. Even when we're confused, take care, and then you can offer to the emperor when, or the empress, when she asks you, you can offer to your housemates, if there are any, when they ask you, you can offer to the universe, your practice and your responses. Thank you.